Hello and welcome to The Global Entity, the blogcast, the podcast, the movement, the everything. Today is the last episode of season one. I am Julia. I am your writer, your host. And with me today in the studio is Tawanda. Tawanda, do you want to say hello?
Hello, everyone. My name is Tawanda Joseph Xena, and this is my first time on this show. I'm the guest, but I'm also the one conducting the interview.
Yeah, I asked Tawanda to come on here as he is since recently part of the Global Entity team, and I needed some help to help me wrap up season one.
Wonderful, wonderful. So breaking it off, as we are closing season one, would you want to tell our listeners what season one has all been about?
I started traveling in 2022. I left my life behind in Sweden, and with this dream of love, but also of learning to live through the heart. And since then, or pretty quickly, everything turned to shit. I was dumped 3 days into my great move to the Southern African part of the continent. And with my broken heart, it led me to an adventure through three different countries, and I'm still traveling, so the adventure is still going. So yeah, that's what
and it being season one, the shows is just the beginning, right? How long has it been? How long have you been traveling?
Almost 2 years now.
Three countries in 2 years.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's really slow.
Yeah, I like slow traveling. I find it really gives you a chance to not only get to know where you are, but also to build, you know, really deep relationships, long lasting, hopefully. So, yeah, I really love slow traveling. I find it also gives you a better chance to know the context and make sure that, like, your own space taking is a force of good. You know, I've stayed at places that were not so ethical or sustainable. And, you know, essentially, I don't want to contribute to that. I think slow traveling has also given me a chance to travel more without an agenda. And that has truly been shocking at times, but very life affirming. And it has brought a lot of joy that I couldn't predict into my life. So, yeah, I'm all for slow traveling.
What inspired you to take this journey on traveling Africa after your first trip had turned to shit, as you call it?
Yeah, I needed to heal and find joy again. You know, you get dumped, it's not the funnest place to be in. Mm-hmm. And dancing does that for me. There was no dancing happening where I was at, and I knew I needed it. So I went to a dance festival in Cape Town, and it was such an amazing experience. The dancing, but also the festival in itself, it ignited an old dream that I had of traveling Africa by bus, because I'd only ever been in South Africa before and never experienced the rest of the continent. So yeah, that's how it ignited from heartbreak and dancing.
Interesting. And in your journey, I mean, you can see the theme, the thread on dancing and what it means to you, but also it has not been an easy journey. Some of the stories you share are difficult and hard on solo traveling, as a female especially. Would you want to speak more on that?
I'm guessing you are referring to the less pleasant travel stories I've shared about getting extorted by the police, losing my visa, being in uncertain situations with men, and generally how it is to travel solo as a woman from a safety perspective. I think the subject of women's securities, women's rights and equality has always fascinated me. I was raised in Sweden believing that all humans are equal, but it did not take me long growing up to realize that this is not how the world operates. I wrote my thesis in global studies on women's freedom of movement, and it completely opened my eyes to how much I limit myself in my everyday life and my movements because I am afraid of gendered violence. I've been taught this from such a young age, not by anybody saying it directly, but by so many indirect structures and norms that we internalize as we grow up. Realizing this, how I've internalized my own gendered oppression, makes me so angry. I did not see it before. So writing about it now has a lot to do with me wanting to stop my own internalization, the normalization of these skewed gender norms and dynamics. And if I can make one other listener, one other reader feel seen in that, or make them go, oh, when it clicks in them, that would be amazing. Let's start questioning these gender norms, toxic security illusions, and skewed sense of responsibilities. I also write about it in an attempt to bring it from the individual level to the structural level. Us becoming aware about the structures is great, but no individual should be charged with the responsibility of changing a whole norm, an industry. It has to be a structural change. By writing about it, I hope to inform the tourism industry, help them question, raise interest for these issues, and how it could benefit them and their guests becoming aware of these issues and change. So I would really love if the tourism industry could also start asking, where are all the women? Because I do believe that if women were more present in the public spaces that all of these travel stories happened to me, I think it would have been a quite different dynamic.
What I'd be curious about, though, is is there a goal? Is there an end goal? Is there a mission? Is there a purpose to it all other than just, you know, you being able to tell a story?
Yeah, I hope to inspire others. You know, I think that by talking about my own fears, by my both bad and amazing, life-changing, transformative experiences while traveling, while daring to do life according to me, I hope to inspire to others to do the same, you know.
To be daring, to live their lives.
Yeah, you know, and for everyone, that doesn't mean, you know, going solo traveling or dancing or, you know, seeking for spirituality or you know, it might come in different terms. Mm. But I just think that we all have that journey to make if we choose to. And it's a, I choose to speak about it openly because it's not always easy. And I know so many friends who've come to me and been like, Julia, I'm on this freaking journey now and I hate it. I hate it. It's awful. And, you know, some of the things I've written about, it's been awful. You know, being slut-shamed when you're far away from home or scammed by somebody who thought you were your friend. Also extremely humiliating, you know. But or feeling or sitting alone, you know, without your visa or passport, not knowing how to get out of the situation for weeks on end. You know, all of these things were very like trying things, but it still doesn't make me regret the journey I'm on. And I think, like, you know, just knowing that your path will most definitely involve, you know, shitstorms and lots of, you know, illusions falling apart and your life changing and therefore also losing a lot of things. You know, I think we need to know that that's part of the journey. And
but that, so sounds, that, we can trust. That sounds scary. You see, that sounds challenging. And why would, you know, one not rather just not live from the heart and go the safe and secure route where they know that they're not fully happy, but they're certain that their life will be a certain way?
I don't know. I think maybe we value different things, you know, because for me, what you describe, I couldn't.
You couldn't because you were not satisfied.
No, exactly. And that was the situation I was in before I left, you know, for this beautiful journey. And I had the option to continue studying or to start my career in my field. And, you know, those are beautiful options, the options that many base their dreams on. And I was feeling claustrophobic, you know, so I had to really ask myself, is the life that you're building really aligned with what's in your heart? And I started realizing I didn't even know what was in my heart. So I needed to give myself space and time to figure that out. And the best way I knew how to do that, because I wanted to do it joyfully as well, was through love, dance, and you know, traveling, or going away from my own home country.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It is. It is beautiful because I also took a journey from my home country, searching and seeking, and, you know, it has been a beautiful journey of discovery, and on living through the heart. It's a journey that I decided to take just before I came across the global entity. And up till this day, it's been more satisfying than ever. So I can relate and completely get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right. So one other thing I've seen in your journey and in your expression is the concept of sustainability in traveling and festivals as well. And I don't know if you want to talk about that or share a bit on it.
Yes, I would love to. Thank you. Firstly, I love festivals. I don't know what it is, or I know what it is. It's the fact that you have, you know, hundreds or thousands of people coming together in a tiny little space, united by this desire to have a really good time, to connect, to enjoy music. It creates a special energy when so many people gather for the same purpose. You know, I'm sure you've felt it yourself at mass in church or wherever people have a lot of common goals. It's a special energy. And festivals, it is a great birthing ground for joy and dance and music and food and laughter, all the good things that I like. So firstly, there's that. I love festivals. I think they're fantastic. Then there's also the fact that I think that festivals are a great way to practice social sustainability because it's such a contained space, but also during a contained amount of time. Parallel to the fact that a festival can make a huge impact, not just in your local community, but globally, I think the festivals are very interesting to look at from the perspective of sustainable tourism, and that we want to travel sustainably and that we want to consume and learn and enjoy other people's cultures from a fair and equal and benefiting, you know, structure, and not from a structure that exploits and leaves artists starving and struggling for their next rent. So I feel that because festivals is such a short time, they have such a huge effect. I think it's a great event. It's a great kind of event to start working with social sustainable tourism. And it's a great space if you're interested about equality, if you're interested about, you know, gendered spaces, if you're interested about, or let me say like this, if you're interested in being able to travel and feeling safe, you know, a festival is such a tiny space that if it's not safe there, it's a very concrete space that you can work with to change norms, to change to more sustainability, to learn things that you want to teach the community. For example, something simple as how to sort out trash and recycle trash, you know, a festival that is consistently, you know, teaching their participants about how to sort their trash, you will see a change in that society. So I find festivals, it's personally a place for joy for me, but I also see it as a very fascinating place to work with making tourism and the culture industry, the music industry, a better place. I think the festivals can have an incredible power and voice here. And I hope to shine some light on the incredible, immense potential that these festivals have, so that more of us come to them and enjoy them, but also that we who are festival goers become more conscious, and so that the festival organizers do more because they see we want more. And that's because who wants to vacation or go to a music festival that's, you know, breaking other people's backs? Nobody. And changing a whole industry can seem really, really hard. But I think if you start somewhere, if you just start the discussion somewhere, I think the rest will follow. I hope the rest will follow.
So how are you funding this, and how do you intend to continue?
Currently, we are talking and looking for sponsors within the tourism and culture and music industry who see the positive impact and the extremely important impact that festivals and social sustainable tourism has and can have on this continent. But then we have also... Okay, we've also started our own media company. We're a team of amazing content creators. I mean, you alone have over 15 years of experience within the media industry.
A decade and a half. You should say a decade and a half. It gives it more weight. It feels bigger. But it's around a decade. Yes, I've been doing this.
Yes, and I think we both have this dream of sharing the knowledge that we have too. So the media company, it's a combo of, you know, taking in clients and getting paid for what we do, but also being able to use that money into radically sharing the information that we know so that others can also learn how to market and attract their ideal clients and brand themselves and make their dreams a reality.
Amazing, amazing, yeah. Amazing. Now that we are rounding off season one, tell us, what are we expecting for the next chapter?
The next chapter is definitely going to be mind-blowing and amazing. There's going to be lots and lots of festivals, lots of trials and errors of trying to find your own way of me trying to find my own way and my own purpose in this strange world. There will be lots of on the Kingdom of Eswatini, where I spent most of my time, just lots of travel stories. I also hope to bring in a lot of my friends. I've been meeting with artists. I've been speaking with festival goers and festival organizers. I hope to bring them more into the podcast, maybe not the blogcast, but I would love, love, love to also enable you guys to meet all of these beautiful souls, great thinkers and creative minds that I get to spend my days with. So there's that. And yeah, I think the next chapter is all about, you know, continuing this journey of trying to live from the heart and really also trying to bring these concepts that I've been working a little bit with in the background around travel safety, around gender norms, around, you know, solo traveling and living from the heart and festival fever. I hope to be able to bring all of these themes more up to the forefront with different projects. And yeah, as you can hear, it's lots of things. Stay tuned.
And guys, listen, we have a new YouTube channel that we've added another, you know, platform where you can get more content from the Global Entity. Please go check it out. There's exciting interviews. There's more content coming up from festivals. Like, subscribe and share.
Yeah, and let us know what you think. We are super excited.
Please comment. So this has been the closing of season one. We hope you've enjoyed it. And if you have not listened or read, please go through it. Go and enjoy this amazing experience. It's a beautiful story that has this depth of academia and intellect within it that speaks of concepts and, you know, issues that are very social and very deep and things that people are concerned about right now. And you enjoy them through weird, strange, and touching heartfelt stories. Hope you guys enjoyed. Visit us on www.theglobalentity.com. Yes, I'm closing the show. It's not my show, but I'm
the one. No, I'll close the show because also stay tuned for season two. We are super busy preparing everything, all the juicy stories. No, you can't call my life juicy. That's weird. All the stories and all the anecdotes and weirdness and all the amazing festivals that are to come and all the ones that we have already done. Yeah, it's a mess in my head right now, but it's a work in progress. And I promise you, stay tuned. The date will be released soon. More texts, more podcasts, more guests are coming your way. Thank you so much for being here and sharing this journey with me. My name is Julia Cervantes Anderson. I am your writer, your host, your ordinary, extraordinary traveler. And I am here today with my partner in crime, Tawanda Joseph Mutsena. Thank you so much for tuning in.